Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Not,
the show where we believe it
or does one.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Do you?
I don't believe anything.
No, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in gravity. Whoa!
You don't need gravity. Have you seen that?
I have. Like, what if we just never invented it? But like, really, what if we didn't? Then what would happen?
That's a good question. Yeah, could be anything.
That's true.
But we're talking about somebody today who also didn't believe a lot of things that people believe. Mm-hmm. A little gentleman, birth name Randall James Hamilton Zwingli, but we know him Zwingli as either James Randy or the Amazing Randy.
Mm-hmm. Not enough people go by the Amazing anymore.
Yeah, I was trying it for a bit, but nobody would.
Oh,
like.
Were you? Were you?
Yeah. Yeah, he was born in 1928, passed mm-hmm. away in 2020, so mm-hmm. not that long ago. I remember I was pretty impacted when he passed away, even though he, you know, was an old man and lived a great mm-hmm. life. You know, there's something special about him, because for me, he had a lot to do with my deconstruction.
Really? Like during, when you were dealing with this, you were really influenced by Randy's works.
Yeah, I really was. And even before, when I was, so I used to believe in, like, you know, faith healers, things like that. And then I started to doubt that even like long before I lost my faith completely. And I started researching faith healer tricks, I think is what I typed. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found the Peter Popoff video of James Randi, which we'll talk about later, where he mm-hmm. debunked Peter Popoff, who was a faith healer. Yep. Kind of went down a rabbit hole. And then later, years later, when I was really searching, James Randi was somebody I'd constantly find little clips mm-hmm. that explained what some supernatural thing was. Kind of mm-hmm. just helped me to become the skeptic that I am and question things.
It makes sense. It's funny because he started out as a magician, illusionist, right? I mean, Houdini was very similar, right? He was a huge skeptic and he tried to debunk a lot of things with psychics and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think before he died, him and his wife, didn't they make a pact where he was like definitively going to say, like, if I do this, then ghosts are real, but I don't think they are, kind of thing?
Yeah.
And there was like some code word. And then I think that kind of got construed into like, oh, Houdini believed in ghosts. And then he spoke to his wife after death. And it's like, nothing happened. And that was his point.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And you're right. He started as a magician. He from a young age was really just interested in magic tricks, things like that.
Yep.
And was just always very skeptical. And when he was a young boy, he was sent to Sunday school every Sunday, but he would ask the Sunday school teachers to prove what they were saying. Like, don't just tell me these things, but you gotta prove it.
I guess when you're like learning close-up magic and things like that, like so much of it is about deception, where nothing is really as it seems. I feel like I get like people's like, well, nothing's as it seems, so we have to believe the supernatural. But I feel like it's also like, well, no, because there's an explanation for it. And I feel like if you have the aptitude to do that, especially at a young age, I can see why Sunday school would be frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, his parents would give him a quarter, send him off to Sunday school. The quarter was for the offering plate, but he would just skip out. And
that's
there
smart.
Was a drugstore that sold banana splits for 25 cents. So he would just go there.
Banana splits, 25 cents. Can you imagine?
Great deal.
How much do they go for these days? I don't even know.
I'm going to guess $8 at a Dairy Queen. That would be
my guess.
It's
a banana, Trevor. How much can it cost? $10?
$100? Yeah, $10. That's At 15, he found out he's from Toronto. I don't know if I mentioned that. So he was born in Toronto, raised in Toronto. And at 15, he heard about a church in Toronto where the pastor was supposed to read minds. And it was like all well-known thing. Mm-hmm. So he went and he was, obviously he knew magic tricks and things like that. So he went there and the pastor is just using the one ahead method. Have you heard of that one?
No, I might have. Explain it.
Yeah, it's basically
not just
for me,
but for everybody.
Yeah. Somebody in college did this to me once and as a magic trick, not to convince me he was a psychic. Mm-hmm. The way he did it was one of the questions. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do it 100%, but usually I can get it right. So he had me answer a bunch of questions, and one of them was a 50-50 chance. And so that was the one he could get wrong. But what you do is that's the one you guess, and then everyone else. So you guess that, and then you open it, but you're not actually opening the answer. You're opening the next 50-50? Answer.
Yeah, the next answer.
So you guess like, no, okay, my bad. And then you're like, but was your grandfather's name Tom? And it's like, yeah, yeah. And then you open it. Yep, you said Tom, but he's already read that. And now he's opening the next one and reading that. So, or the other way they do it is they have a plant in the audience. So it's like, okay, I have the stack of envelopes that have answers in them. And then, so the first one is like the plant, he says it's right. And then from then on, he's already read the next one.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense? So Randy figured this out. He went up to the front and he said, this is how they're doing it. But he was shocked that nobody wanted it to be debunked. They just wanted to believe. And everybody in the audience was upset with him. The pastor's wife called the police. He gets arrested. Yeah, his dad bailed him out of jail later that day. And he realized that some people just have a need to believe certain things. And
it's wild that he got arrested. And I feel like part of it, too, I think a lot of it there is a lot of people who have a need to. But I also feel like a lot of people don't want, like when you're in that situation, you don't want to be proven wrong,
Yeah.
So admitting that he's right means that you're wrong and you believe this thing that is fake.
Yeah.
And that can be a hard thing for people to accept, especially if you're in a large room full of people.
Yeah.
You're like, I look like a fucking idiot for the last 2 years believing this.
Yeah.
If it's fake. So
100%.
I mean, I get that. I get people wanting to believe. I get people hoping, I guess. I don't know, but
and I would like kind of challenge my dad on certain things, because my dad until the day he died believed in faith healers.
Right.
It got to the point where he just thought some of them were charlatans and some of them were true. So if you pointed out like an obvious charlatan trick, then that person, okay, that faith healer is a bad one. He's a fake one, but there are real ones.
I feel like that's just like something where it's just like, it's like no true Scotsman kind of thing, right? Yep. Like, it was like, well, that's not the real faith healer. This is the real faith healer. You're just cherry picking the things that kind of work to support your argument, where it's just like, maybe they're just all not real.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he dropped out of high school at 17 and started doing magic full time.
Mm-hmm.
And he did some escape artist stuff, but it was mostly like magic trick things. And then he was working, he got a job in Quebec City. Yeah, it looks like he was still in his teens, in his late teens. So he got a job in Quebec City, and there were some cops at one of his shows, and they're like, do you think you can get out of these handcuffs? And he's like, yeah, I could probably figure out how to get out of the handcuffs. So after the show, they met up with him, and they're like, okay, let's do it. So they handcuffed him, he got out of them, and they're like, you probably can't get out of the jail, though. And he's like, I could try. So he voluntarily got locked up in a Quebec City jail. Mm-hmm. And escaped at this point. He escaped like pretty quickly. At this point, he was known as Randall, his actual first name. But a newspaper referred to him the next day as Le Etenant. I took 9 years of French, folks. Le Etenant Randy, which
it doesn't show.
Yeah, it does not. Which means the amazing Randy. And that name stuck from then on. And then when he returned to the nightclub, they're like, okay, we have to show your escape artist stuff way more than your magic tricks. So Right. Which is still, they're both magic tricks, but so yes. He became more known for his mm-hmm. escape artistry. He escaped from a straitjacket hanging from a building in New York, and he escaped from a straitjacket hanging over Niagara Falls.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, I've been there too. So was Superman, I think, in Superman 2.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah.
I remember because we went as kids, like right after we saw the movie, and we're like, Superman was here.
I wonder if Superman saw Randy get out of his jacket.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. And then Superman tied it really tight. And,
get out of it now.
Then he had some world records, I think, one for being naked in a block of ice or little clothes in a block of ice for the longest.
Did he really do that?
Yeah.
So yeah, he went full on David Blaine.
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't realize that he did like that kind of stuff. I knew he did escape stuff and everything like that. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, he was a pretty prolific escape artist. Mm-hmm. And up until his 50s, he did it. And then I think what happened was he went in a milk can and he's supposed to escape from a milk can, but something happened where it jammed really bad and he got stuck in there. And then he hurt his, shoulder. He hurt something. And then he realized that nobody wants to see an old man get out of a can anyway. So he stopped doing the escape artist stuff.
We want to see him go into the can, but we don't want to see him get out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But all along, like, he would be guests on TV shows and stuff doing his mm-hmm. Tricks or his, illusions. Tricks or what? Anyways. or candy. Yeah, he had a radio show for a year, but a lot of people hated him because he would debunk things. And then because he was debunking a lot of supernatural stuff and speaking out against supernatural stuff, a lot of religious people hated him. And an archbishop said that he had heard him say on the radio station that Jesus was a religious nut. But James Randi said he never said that. And like, why would he? He doesn't even know if Jesus existed. Like, why are you saying
that? Is a weird thing to say that Jesus was a religious nut.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was, he probably was a religious nut, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
Like he went around calling himself the Messiah, didn't he?
Yeah. that's pretty nuttery.
That sounds like a religious nut to me. Wait, are we going to get canceled?
Probably. Yeah. Cool. Hey, if we haven't been canceled yet, I think we're okay.
I guess that's true.
For something like that, I'm not saying. Anyways.
Right.
he hosted a number of TV shows, guest on a number of TV shows, and in the 60s and 70s became a regular on Carson. And developed a friendship with good old Johnny Carson.
Is that where Johnny got the mind reading or whatever? Where he would
Parody of something else. But Johnny Carson was a magician as well in his early days, and also was throughout his life a skeptic.
Okay.
So they connected on that way. Also,
that tracks, then.
Yeah, between 73 and 74, he went on tour with Alice Cooper. James Randi did. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Alice Cooper wanted there to be like an execution part of the show. So they rigged up a fake guillotine and a fake bloody head of Alice Cooper and did a cool trick on stage. And
I think they still do stuff like that. I know they've been doing it at least up until like the mid 2000s. I think it's.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, yeah. He's been like known for like very theatrical stage shows and things like that. So that's pretty cool that a lot of it comes back to James Randi.
Yeah. Actually, he was on that tour because in the 80s, he became an American citizen and renounced his Canadian citizenship. Part of the reason for that was while they're on that tour, the RCMP were just pieces of shit and kept like searching their stuff for drugs and stuff, even though nobody in the band had anything. And they just assumed that there was going to be a bunch of drugs. And
well, I mean, the RCMP are a bunch of pieces of shit to begin with, right? Like they were really founded as a huge trash pile of an organization to, abuse indigenous people.
Yeah. When your start is like to do a genocide, then maybe,
maybe
we shouldn't have them on our coins and have like,
maybe not. Them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was at one show where he was showing, this is in the '70s. He's showing that, how the psychic tricks work, but he didn't always show how they worked. Mm-hmm. He just would say, I'm a trickster and I'm going to show you, I'm telling you that this is cheating and I am doing a trick, but these other people are telling you it's not a trick, but they're doing the same thing I am.
Right.
So he would do this and then when a professor yelled that he was tricking them, and he's like, yes, that's what I said. I'm a trickster. I'm a cheat. I'm a charlatan. That's what I do for a living. Everything that's I do point. Is here by trickery. And the guy's like, no, you're tricking us because you're actually using psychic powers, but you're misleading us by saying that you're not. You're just trying because he thought he was just trying to disprove like the psychics out of like some sort of agenda against other psychics, and that he also had psychic power.
Why would what?
Yeah,
who was this guy?
I don't know. It just says a professor at the university he was at.
A professor? What is it? That's so vague.
Yeah,
a professor at the university. Which university? Which professor? This guy sounds nuts.
It was at the University of Buffalo.
Oh no!
So what happened was Uri Geller. Are you familiar with Uri Geller?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know about Uri Geller.
Uri Geller was super popular at this time and part of Randy's show. And I think it was right after Uri Geller was there. He just repeated a part of Uri Geller's show. And that was the guy just had believed Uri Geller and was like, nope.
Did you know that? I'm like 90% sure this is a true story, but I read that Pokemon, the trading cards, were unable. They only did Alakazam, who is a psychic Pokemon with bent spoons, in like the first edition, and they haven't done it since because they were getting legal pressure from Uri Geller because his thing was bending spoons, and he was claiming like that's my thing, I do that.
Yeah,
even though
he's also sued.
It's not his thing, and
Randy
he's
a lot.
Well, because he's proven him to be a fraud numerous times.
Yeah,
yet people still. Like the guy for so long. I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. Cause it was, so he was scheduled to be on Carson, and Carson calls up James Randi and was like, what can we do? And he's like, well, what the best thing to do is to make sure that you give him a bunch of metal objects. Cause it was all about bending metal and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You give him these objects and then make sure that he never goes near them and his team never goes near them and they never see them until he's on the show.
Until they're on the air, yeah.
And so it's a 20-minute interview where he can't do a single thing.
Of course.
And he's, and he says that the psychic energy is low and he doesn't feel strong. And Uri Geller thought his career was over after that, but he was able to argue that if I was a magician, if I was just doing tricks, then it would work all the time. But since I am psychic, some days it works and some days it doesn't. And people believed him, and some people believed him stronger after that. And he was immediately booked on another show and just continued to sell his wares.
Yeah, because I know he did books. I think, did he have a TV show for a while too?
He might have. And I saw him a couple years ago on some show where he was one of the judges, and another one of the other judges was, who's the other one? It was David Blaine and Chris Angel.
Chris Angel,
yeah, Mind Chris Free? Angel was, he was one of the other judges, but he like kept fighting with Uri Geller because he's like, you're not in the same business as I am. You're a fraud, and I admit that what I'm doing are
illusions. Chris Angel's an illusionist. He's much more akin to a James Randi than Uri Geller.
Very much.
Like, completely. Yeah.
And the one episode I saw, he just, like, put him on the spot and did the same thing Carson did. And, again, the psychic powers weren't working.
I mean, that's got to be so frustrating. Like, when you spend your career working so hard to do these things and never really kind of being under the illusion of telling people that everything is real, and then you see someone doing something so blatantly fake.
Yeah,
like that's got to be so frustrating.
Yeah. And even in one interview, James Randi was saying that he was taken by a film crew to see these psychics in Korea. And they said that, like, you've never seen anything like this. This is so different. So he went with a couple of his assistants. The people start doing their thing and they just look at each other like, these are the same tricks that have been used for thousands of years. They're doing the exact same thing, but they just have different wording and they have like different outfits, but they're still doing the same way.
Same stuff.
And people like want to believe, and whereas he would say they need to believe, and they just forget the evidence that that's in front of them. And
hey, marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Yeah. So Randy, so he started with the Carson thing kind of going on TV trying to debunk, or no, I guess he was debunking stuff before then.
Yeah, he was debunking stuff before, yeah.
Because I know he'd gone on, I've seen the one about the one guy who was supposedly able to like turn pages with his mind, but it turns out it was just like, there was a trick behind it and they foiled him there. When did he start his, was it $1 million prize for anyone who could prove psychic powers or supernatural phenomenon or anything like that? When did that start?
So it kind of started in the 60s. So what it was he was on a radio show and somebody said, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? So he said, okay, if somebody can prove to me this week in any supernatural thing, I'll give you $1,000. And then eventually he got some funding and it turned into $10,000 in the 70s. And then by the mid to late 80s, he got a grant from somebody that they would pay them $1 million. So they were given $1 million. They actually had it like ready to go. They would give you that money immediately. It wasn't like,
they knew it wasn't going to happen though.
Yeah. And so what they would do was someone said they had a supernatural claim. They would sit down with James Randi and with like their organizations. They would work out beforehand. What are the criteria? How can we show that this is legit? And then every single time they would fail. And then they'd make an excuse, but you agreed to these things. We can't give you the money just because you thought of something after as an excuse for why it didn't work.
Oh, and, totally. And and of course, the excuse doesn't prove that you're right, though. That's the thing. Like, it's easy to make excuses after the fact when something doesn't work.
Yeah. And that one, so the one you were talking about with the bending, I think the guy was named Henrik.
Yeah.
And what they did was, he said he could move a pencil with his mind, and then he said he could move pages with his mind. So James Randi comes out. So he does the tricks. James Randi comes out, just immediately shows that how easy the pencil one was. And then and he's like, okay, for the book, I think that you're just very clever at the way you blow on the pages. So he put some plastic pellets in front of it that would, you know, if he was blowing them. And the guy was like, no, because now the plastic, he agreed to it, and then he couldn't do it. And he's like, well, the plastic, the styrofoam is causing static electricity with the lights, and it's causing the pages to stick. But they couldn't, like, they would lift up the pages, and it would just... There was no static, and the judges were like, no. And
because he was using, like, a phone book, and I don't think those paper, those pages really conduct static electricity.
No, I don't think so.
So,
and even like he was trying to prove by picking it up, and you could tell he was trying to angle it so that it would fall back and it would still go forward. So it was obviously that, I don't think he did well after that, but who knows. Another one I saw was aura reading. Another time he was on Barbara Walters had a morning show. I watched this one today too. So it was like a year after Uri Geller was on the show, and Barbara Walters was just convinced and just like awed by him. And she was like, you know, why do you think you can debunk him? He got awards from these people and he was scientifically tested by the Stanford Institute and stuff. And then he's like, okay, first of all, the Stanford Institute has nothing to do with Stanford University. Also, the people who tested him have nothing to do with any sort of paranormal research. They're laser scientists, like they create lasers. Yeah, yeah. And didn't know what they're doing. And you could tell she just wasn't listening at first.
Well, like Barbara Walters has some problematic people that she supports and views that she's espoused on national television. So,
yeah. And he was very critical too. Speaking of people who share awful people with the world, Oprah was really big into John of God.
I'm not surprised by that either.
Who later turned out to be a rapist. Yeah. And,
Oprah Winfrey promoting horrible people?
Yeah.
And what?
Yeah, and he recreated how John of God did the psychic surgery, which is an old trick that's been done for years. And it's just you're using chicken guts and fake blood and stuff. And and then another thing on Carson was Carson had him on to promote his looking into Peter Popoff. And that's where he revealed the video he made of how they caught Peter Popoff cheating.
Which was the radio waves and everything.
Yeah. They put a radio scanner in the building and showed that his wife was just reading off of prayer cards then.
Yeah, because they had prayer cards like pre-surveys before the show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know like how you couldn't, like if you go into a place and then you fill all this stuff out and then the guy on stage starts saying this stuff, wouldn't you be like, didn't I just write this down?
Yeah.
Like 15 minutes ago? How do you not realize that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But again, I guess you're swept up in it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've told the story, I'm sure, before, but I remember I went to see Benny Hinn when I was a teenager, and we're sitting there ready to go, and I just hear this like wind noise, and I was like, oh, the Lord's moving. You can really hear the spirit moving. There's like a wind coming through, and my brother's like, that's the air conditioner. Right.
And the Lord said unto me, let it be cool.
Yeah. he started. So James Randi started the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. Mm-hmm. He co-founded that with a lot of really cool people like Carl Sagan and others. And
only one worth mentioning.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. I'll Google that. And as well as the James Randi Foundation. So he was kind of the unofficial/official spokesperson for the CSI or the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. And then obviously he was the main face of the James Randi Foundation. And it was through the James Randi Foundation that they would do the $1 million challenge,
right?
Which again, nobody has claimed. They stopped actually doing it in 2015 and then set up the money that was going to be used for that into grants for things like actual, you know, scientific accomplishments.
Science.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. I know he did a lot of work too. Like he worked with Penn and Teller a bunch. I know they were huge, big fans of his.
Yeah.
I know he was on a few episodes of Bullshit where they were debunking various things too. Always a good watch.
Yeah. I loved him on that.
And obviously we should talk. There was a documentary made, An Honest Liar, which I have seen, but it's been several years since I've seen it. But I think it's really worth checking out if you like James.
Yeah.
Randi.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen it, but I will soon.
Yeah. It's a good watch.
Yeah.
I remember it being a good watch. Again, if it's bad, I'm sorry.
I've seen the trailer and I've seen him on a bunch of interviews, and it's funny how when he's being interviewed and he was on tour talking about on The Honest Liar, how like people who obviously did believe in psychics and stuff were just upset that he was on the show and very confrontational with him. Just ask him, well, you believe in God, right? Like, no, I don't.
It's such a strange assumption, but I mean, I guess if that's your whole world, I mean, I guess you would just assume that, right?
Yeah.
Which is strange to me, but yes.
In 1988, the 60 Minutes in Australia, the show 60 Minutes, but the Australia version.
It goes counterclockwise, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. they were interested in talking about channelers, which was a big thing at the time, and like the New Age movement where...
Channelers?
Yeah, these people would go on stage, and then they'd say that they were channeling the spirit of some ancient wise person who had all these wisdom. So they'd put on an accent, they'd put on a big show, and then they'd say basic self-help bullshit.
Yeah, so they were pretending to be possessed then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the same as like people speaking in tongues and pretending the Holy Spirit's going through them. It's the same shit.
Yeah. And so what they decided to do was with James Randi, they decided to train somebody who wasn't an actor or anything like that to become one of these channelers. Mm-hmm. They went with Jose Alvarez, who later married James Randi. And they created a character called Carlos. Carlos was the spirit. So he went by his real name, Jose Alvarez. Well, that wasn't actually his real name, but the name he was going by at the time. And then they created this character, Carlos. They trained him and they really worked with him to get this character down and how to avoid like media scrutiny and stuff like that. And the thing at the time was that Australia was just seen as a place where they were skeptical and they would ask skeptical questions of these supernatural things. So they put that to the test too, and got him on a bunch of morning shows and a bunch of news shows, and nobody really challenged him much at all. And they just wanted to see his trick. And what they did was they used this old magician's trick where you tape a ball under your armpit, and then if you squeeze, it seems like you're stopping your heart from beating. So what they would do is they would get he would say to these TV stations, you can get your own nurse or doctor to check his pulse. And because he said as the spirit enters him, he dies for a second. And that was...
Okay, was it just restricting blood flow to his arms and they were checking it there? Okay.
Yeah. So that was part of their shtick, and people fell for it, and people came out to see it, and then they revealed on 60 Minutes that he was all a hoax. And the thing, too, is they put clues in all the promotional material where if they called those numbers to double-check what they're saying, then that would be debunked. All they had to do was make one phone call, and they would say, yes, this is fake.
But nobody would?
Nobody called. Nobody checked into it. They just had him on the show.
It's amazing what people take at face value.
Yep. Another one was there was this, and this was in the 70s as well, but the same kind of idea where it was a quote-unquote scientific paranormal research place. And so he got two young magicians, to go in there and say that they're psychic. But the catch was, once they ask you if you're cheating, you have to say yes. And once they ask you if this is any sort of trick, tell them the truth. Otherwise, just show them what you can do. They were in the study for 4 years without being asked.
4 years?
4 years.
Oh, man, that's a good joke.
Yeah.
You got to feel like, after that 4 years, you got to feel like such an asshole after that.
Yep. And they went bankrupt pretty quickly after that.
I don't blame them.
But he started the Amazing Meeting, which was like a big meeting of skeptics, and it became one of the biggest like skeptic meetings every year, which would have been really cool to go to had I not believed in God. Yeah, like you said, he was on Penn and Teller a lot. As far as like religion goes, he said he was on the side of, he was an atheist, he was a staunch atheist, in that there's never been any evidence for God. Not the classic what people think is that I've disproven God, it's that something like that needs to be shown before I'm going to believe it.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing, right? The burden of proof isn't on the person who doesn't believe, it's on the person who does.
Yeah.
I know I feel that way. I'm definitely like, there's nothing to convince. There was no evidence for me to believe in any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it be God or the supernatural or psychics or astrology or any of that stuff. There's nothing replicable. There's nothing scientific. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I've said this multiple times on various places, that if you presented me with information that might suggest this, I would be willing to believe.
Yeah.
But I'm almost guaranteed that you're not going to show me that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's always my issue. It's just like, all the evidence most of the time is just frauds. And then it's just secondhand accounts and stories from other people. And it's just like, that's not evidence.
Yeah. And I get really frustrated with people do any supernatural claim, whether it's God or ghosts or whatever, when they tell you something and then immediately say, can't argue with that. It's like,
well, I can.
Can I? Yeah. It's right there.
I'm going to. It's like, it's nice that you believe that, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. So he was diagnosed with colorectal cancer in 2009. And then it was in 2008 that he finally came out as gay.
Yeah.
And then he married Jose, who's actually, his name was Devi Orangel Pene Ortega, but he had to flee from his home country, which was somewhere.
You'll find it.
But yeah, so he had to flee from his own country because he was because he was gay and was afraid for his life.
For sure, yeah.
So he changed his name to Jose Alvarez just to be safe, like just to hide.
Right.
But he was later charged with identity theft.
Oh, he was Venezuelan.
Venezuelan. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they were married together till James Randi passed away in 2020. I don't know, just an interesting guy. One story I like is, I don't remember where I heard him talk about this, but he was living in New York. And mm-hmm. every day he would write, I will die on, and then he would write that day's date and put that in a card, and like that looked kind of older, and put it in his wallet so that if he did get hit by a car, they would go through and like, he knew he was going to die this day.
That's a pretty good trick.
And he would just do like little life tricks like that. And yeah. Interesting guy. What are your thoughts on James Randi?
I like the guy. I like what he did. I like what he stood for. You know, yeah. I feel like he's a pioneer for all of us. Mm-hmm. Non-believers and skeptics. I mean, he's definitely someone who influenced a lot of people that I respect and look up to. Like I mentioned Penn and Teller, and we talked about like people like Carl Sagan as well. But, you know, like that kind of skepticism, right? And that, you know that there's usually if there's something that's too good to be true or it feels like it, there's probably something behind it.
Yeah. He talked a lot about how assumptions, like how just we make assumptions, and magicians and psychics use these assumptions. Yeah. Like the one example he used was magician is probably not going to tell you this box is empty because then you're not going to believe him. So what he'll do is he'll throw the box on the ground or he'll show you the inside of the box, and he never says it's empty, but based on the way the box lands or based on what you can see, it looks like it's empty. So all of a sudden you're making that assumption. And same with just a lot of the tricks that psychics and stuff pull. And I told you this, but watching a bunch of his videos today, I then went on this rabbit hole of watching people debunk psychics. And it's that cold reading thing is so funny because it's like you're just, especially if you're wanting to make contact with somebody who's passed away.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
That's always been an issue with me with things like psychics and stuff like that. I understand people's desire to want to do that. And I've heard people argue that, well, if it's comforting for them, then what's the harm?
Yeah.
But more often than not, it's people taking advantage of other people's grief. Right. They're not doing this out of a place of kindness to help people. They're doing this out of a place because they want to make money.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, I find it kind of gross. So yeah,
same.
Yeah. But again, it's again, like you said, if people want to do it, then I think the most powerful things and beliefs are the people who want to see this stuff. Right. And the stuff that people are making up in their own minds. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's all I got, too. I mean, there's a bunch more stuff. He's just, he's a really interesting dude. But you know who else is interesting?
Who?
Our patrons.
Oh, dang, they is.
They're really interesting and really great people. And we want to thank a couple of them.
Oh, my God. Wow, thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our Bible study. It's been a trying week, but we are trying. But we have got this, and the Lord of at least this planet that we know of, probably other
planets. He's raising us up on his golden wings that he definitely has.
Yes, and they're not gold-plated. This isn't...
No, this is 24-karat solid gold.
Yeah. And you ask how they fly, it's because God can do anything.
You know who has gold-plated wings?
Who's that?
The devil.
The devil. Amen. Yep. Amen.
Yep. Amen, indeed.
I do want to raise a couple people up to the golden raise them up. Lord. And so I'll
raise them up.
Raise them up. So I want to thank really quickly here. I want to thank Alex. I want to thank Franziska. I want to thank Derek. And you know I want to thank the Grumpy Bavarian, as well as good old Jonathan. Just thank you all and lift you up in prayer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We're lifting them up so high. They can see over the fence now. It's a wonderful thing to say. And I've just got a prayer request for us today. I just have one for our friend Nicole. Nicole's been playing a lot of Candy Crush recently. And you see, it's just kind of consuming everything, and you need to stop crushing the candy and start crushing your responsibilities to the Lord.
Amen. And I get that. I was once addicted myself to the candy crush.
It's bad. It's like opium for telephones.
And I actually have a very similar prayer request for our friend Katie. Katie is actually obsessed with Angry Birds, and it's the exact same problem. Mm. And the problem with that is, I don't know if you know the Tetris effect, but that's when you play too much Tetris, it looks like you look around and you see how things would fit together. With Angry Birds, the problem is that you get so obsessed with it that you start launching birds at pigs in real life, and then it starts to affect your day to day when you're doing that at work and when you're doing that at school, and or just walking along the street, you see a bird, you see a pig, and all of a sudden, what do you do? So
yeah, so please, Katie, stop throwing those birds, please. Mm-hmm. And I have one final prayer request for our friend Julia today. They've been playing a lot of Among Us still. I know it's not as popular as it once was, but I just got to say that no matter what happens, they've been getting pretty dang sus lately. Mm-hmm. And if we could just ask them to stop being so sus, that would really help us out here, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the problem with Among Us is you have to lie sometimes.
And we don't like lying here.
Yep.
Tell the truth always, even when it's bad, tell the truth. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And speaking of hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Should we do some Christian rock lyrics?
Let's hear it.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
This song is called DC 10 by Audio Adrenaline.
Is that a plane?
That's
a plane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that the Scientologists said or a similar type of plane to a DC-10 that they flew all the things into the volcanoes?
Yeah.
It looked like a DC-10. Okay, so anyway, just getting that out of the way.
Why would they specify that? Like, why don't you just say a ship?
And just say a spaceship.
Yeah. But this song goes as follows. Do you know where you will go? Oh yeah, DC-10 on a swing and fell on a van. DC-10 on a swing and fell on a van and wide in LA, yo. What the?
What are you talking? Are you okay, Trev?
I know. I felt like I was having a stroke when reading that. If a DC-10, those were the words too. I wasn't missing words. If a DC-10, ever fell on your head, laying in the ground all messy and dead, or a Mack truck run over you, or suddenly die in your Sunday pew, I said, do you know where you're going to go? It can happen any day. It can happen anywhere. It can happen while you're napping in your easy chair.
I like how the first thing that they said could happen to kill you would be a commercial airliner landing on your head. Yeah. Probably one of the more unlikely things to happen.
It happens every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
What that's it brings up a good question, you know?
Yeah, what are they talking about?
Oh, yeah,
basically, right. That too,
you're gonna go to heaven or you're gonna go to hell, so you got to make sure. Right. Oh, there's more about airplanes. If a 747 fell out of heaven, crashing through the roof of a 7-Eleven, you're working on a Slurpee, things get hazy, reach for a Twinkie, now you're pushing up daisies. Do you know where you're gonna go?
This verse is much better.
Yeah. It's such a weird song. I think it's an earlier song for them, but it almost sounds like a ska vibe. Not really, though. Like, maybe they're trying to sound like old ska. I don't know.
It's weird. It's weird. Funk? I'd have to hear it to know exactly what you mean, but
yeah,
the first verse really threw me through a loop.
That one line, so that's a spoken line. DC-10 on a swing and fell on a van and wide in LA, yo.
Okay. I still don't know what it means.
I know.
Maybe if you heard it, it might make more sense.
Nope.
But every once in a while, like just anytime you'll hear a song and there'll be like a weird spoken thing at the beginning of it, and you're like, I don't need this. What is this? This isn't helping the song. It's making it worse.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week on another episode of Belief. Belief we are
it or not.
Belief it or not.
Belief it or not.
Happy birthday.
Have a good birthday.
someone was like, what? How did they know? Like one person.
We knew.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.